Father, may the words in my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, Lord. For you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I've been mulling over this scripture lesson for a few weeks, the gospel. And I have to be quite honest with you, I kept going back to one word. I'm really interested in the manure. I know that sounds a little strange, but I'm really fascinated by the use of this in our gospel lesson. And we'll get there in a little while. But let's first examine the context in this particular passage. It's quite fascinating. Two events, two tragedies. Two groups of people die, and it's not their fault. It's really not their fault. The first account is this grisly mention of Pilate's mingling the blood of Galileans with their sacrifices. It appears that they're massacred. They're massacred in Jerusalem. And the second account is the Tower of Siloam, where apparently a structure collapsed without warning and crushed 18 helpless people. Two really sad stories they bring to Jesus to talk about. But he doesn't go there. He quickly transitions. Well, how does he do this? Well, by a question, which we find in verse 4. He says, "You think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem?" No. You see, in Israel's mind, sin and judgment are closely linked together, but not with Jesus. He transitions beautifully in this particular gospel lesson because the tragedy that Jesus wants to talk about is the tragedy that takes place in the heart of not knowing him as their Lord and Savior. I just find this so interesting because Jesus could have taken the opportunity to defend God against charges of mismanaging the universe, these tragedies that we don't understand. And how often have you heard people, again, question God when tragedies come into their life, wanting an answer? Jesus doesn't go there. He goes to something deeper, the tragedy that exists in the heart. And he does this by talking about repentance. The word that we're focused on today, repentance. A relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. And you know, I find it interesting because I think we've gotten a bad rap. It's an important word. Think back to the whole hellfire and brimstone type of preaching. I'm not sure the last time you used that word in your conversation with people to talk about Jesus. Repent. But when you think about it, and you reflect upon it, it's a pretty special word and a pretty significant word for us to understand. In the Old Testament, the word has a couple meanings. Turn around or to change your mind. To return, to seek, to restore. You've heard often scriptures like this, turn to the Lord Jesus with all your heart. In the New Testament, again, to change your mind. To change your mind. In the Greek New Testament also, it has a very special meaning. I think that we can identify with. It was actually used as a military term that described a soldier marching in one direction and doing an about-face. So when using a spiritual sense, it means to change your mind and to do an about-face towards Jesus. You do a spiritual about face, which in turn changes everything, if you're looking at the Lord Jesus. Change your mind towards Christ. Of course, you have to change your mind towards sin, which leads back to this important word of repentance. Repent that you might know the Lord Jesus Christ. I really love this about face type of image when you think about repentance. And I was thinking about the first time I met Erica. And I hadn't met her for around 2.5 months. We've been talking on the phone together, and we're supposedly kind of dating. We met actually in Hawaii for the first time and was waiting for her to arrive at the airport. I'd never seen her. I didn't know what she looked like. Well, kind of. I saw pictures. But I'd never seen her face to face. And so here I am, waiting anxiously in Maui for her to arrive on the plane. And I'm in one area of the airport, and she comes in through another area. I thought she was going to come down one elevator, but she didn't. I didn't realize there was two entrances to where she could come in. Kind of thought she stood me up, actually, to begin with. But I was sitting in this one section, and I was looking down at a magazine. And I was waiting. I was thinking, oh, no, this isn't going to turn out well. I looked up, and I saw this girl, and I looked down. And then I looked up again at her and saw her face, and I realized that that was the one. She was the one who I was waiting for. I finally got to look in her eyes as we engaged one another. For me, it was an about face. It was about looking down and then seeing her and then drawing her into my life once again. And I think for us as people of God and for people outside the faith, we need to turn around and look into the eyes of Jesus once again. And this repentance theme is a beautiful gift because it invites us to take another look. What I love about this scripture that Jesus presents is that it's very kind because it's about second chances. But there's also a sense of urgency that Jesus also places upon this text. The two stories, the two illustrations are, you just never know what might happen. There's an urgency in this message for people to turn towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Life is very precarious. It's very fragile. It's very uncertain. So repent. Repent. Turn around and face Jesus and see what he might have to offer you. You see how repentance becomes actually a gift? It becomes actually a beautiful term when you think about it a little bit deeper. What I really love about what Jesus says and the patience that God has is this illustration of the fig tree. A fig tree that is not producing much. And we know that a fig tree takes about 3 years for actually fruit to grow. So you can see that God is very patient in us as well. That he looks upon us and says, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you a chance. I want you to understand this relationship. I want you to enter in to this relationship with me. That's where the manure comes in. That's what I was really drawn towards, to be honest with you, in this particular gospel lesson. Because we see in scripture that the vineyard owner is invited to add manure to the tree that isn't producing fruit. He's adding something into it in order to give it life again. And so how do we add the word of God into our life? Eric and I were watching a movie the other night, which I found very powerful. And maybe some of you have seen it yourself. It's called The Book of Eli. Very powerful book because it's post-apocalyptic. So it's a time in life when the whole world has kind of been destroyed and there's some few remaining individuals. And the whole movie is about finding truth because literature has been destroyed. And there's only a few books that are remaining that can give life again, give meaning, give purpose, to give direction to people's lives. And this one character played by Denzel Washington has that one remaining book that this one evil individual wants. We don't realize what it is till near the end of the show, but it's the Bible. Because they realize that the Bible has something that can change people's lives forever. It has the truth. And so we need to add this into our lives. It's adding the Word of God into our life to fertilize our lives, to fertilize our hearts, so that we can draw closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this illustration because remember the story of seeds are planted on the hard soil, the parable of the hard soil, and there's weeds on some of the soil, and it's not growing. What I love about this scripture is that God's going to work with whatever soil's there. So wherever we're at in our life, wherever we are, God is the one who wants to do the work in our lives. But it's through the word we're brought into faith. It's through the message of Jesus. It's to turning to him that we find out who God is. It's the word of God where we really discover who Jesus is, what he's done. Here's the problem. The problem is sin. We talk about repentance as changing our mind about something. That's where the world has a great difficulty, is to understand sin. Again, when was the last time you talked to somebody about sin and not had somebody fly back at you in anger or upset? People don't recognize the power of sin over us anymore. People don't understand or believe in hell anymore. People don't understand or believe in the devil anymore. Well, Jesus defeated all. But it starts with our recognizing of the sin in our life, which, of course, we're brought to conviction through the Holy Spirit. But until you turn and face Jesus and to realize what he's done for you, that he's died for sin, for your sin, it's hard to draw close to him. It comes through repentance. It's the about face that needs to happen each and every day in our lives. The challenge for us as Christians, as believers, as followers, as disciples, is that we are called to also spread this message. We're called to share the message of Jesus Christ in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. I don't care when people come into the faith. It could be the very last breath of their life. I just hope and pray that people do. They can receive the grace of God that's given for all of us. For God so loved the whole world, not just some. The whole world. The language of repentance for me is about a means to an end. It's about a finish to a start. It's about an old creation being made new. It's about the dead being made alive. It's about, you got me at hello. I've turned and faced you, Jesus, and Jesus says, hello. I'm your Savior. I'm your friend. Count on me. I have something to share with you, and nobody else can. My death and resurrection is for you because I love you so much. Oh, friends, you know, it's easy to say I'm saved. I got the faith in my life. Hallelujah. And we do. And we're thankful by the grace of God. But all those out there in the world who don't know Jesus, repentance is not a one-shot deal, and it shouldn't be. Every day, you and I, as believers, should repent. I know I need to repent daily. It's not about face for me, because sometimes even when I turn towards Jesus for a minute, I'll try to go around him and do my own thing. That doesn't help either. I need a face-to-face with Jesus every day of my life. So repentance actually becomes a beautiful world because it brings us back into a relationship with Jesus to produce fruit for him and for his purpose, to have an impact for Jesus. That's our purpose. That's what we're called to do. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, I had an uncle who was a dairy farmer. He used to gather a lot of manure during the winter. And then in the springtime, he would distribute it. That is, he would spread it on his fields so it could help produce a better crop. It was interesting because one of the fields that he had, which is just outside of Calgary, there was multi-million dollar acreages up top on a hill. So his land quarter section was below. And people used to come down to his farm after he'd spread the manure because the odor was so bad, complaining, how could you do this? This is not acceptable. But he said, Rick, what was interesting was that in about a month's time after, they came back and said, I can't believe how beautiful this is. The crop looks so good. It's so green. It's so lush. Sometimes it's hard to dig deep into our own sin in our own life. It's difficult. But Jesus wants to produce good fruit through us. He wants us to share that love. He He wants us to be seen through him. We're in this amazing, amazing mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be changed by him, to reflect him, to honor him. But we need to do it now. There's no excuse for not doing it now. We know that we live in a world that's filled with people who need the message of Jesus Christ. The urgency of Jesus' message today is, what are you doing about it? I've given you something in your life. Now you need to share the message of Jesus Christ. Let me end with a story. A story about Ron. A number of years ago when I was an intern pastor up in Yellowknife, I met Ron. But let me give you the background to the story first of all. I served in this small little congregation in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories. My supervisor was a man who had a ministry where he flew into different settlements around the north. And it was a wonderful ministry, a flying ministry called Lutheran Association of Missionary Pilots. And he had met this Ron because Ron was also a pilot, trained to be a commercial pilot, but he needed to put in his hours. So he came north to fly as a bush pilot. And it was pretty amazing for him. Ron was married. His wife was down in Winnipeg. And they were going to meet up for the summer holidays. Lee, my supervisor, said, Rick, I'd like you to meet Ron. He's a very interesting man. He had shared the faith with Ron, but Ron really wasn't a believer. Maybe curious, but not quite there yet. So I decided to invite him over to our home. I was married to my wife, Pam, at that time, and Ron came over for supper. Now, we had a really good conversation that night, shared in life, and just spent some time together, and he left. But before he left, he signed our guest book, because my wife, Pam, made sure that everybody who came to our home would sign the guest book before they left. So there it was. I never looked at the guest book that night. The night finished. The next day came. It was Saturday. Ron said that Saturday was an important day for him because his wife was going to arrive from Winnipeg to be with them. And they had a little baby in the womb, a baby that was going to be born in a few months' time. He hadn't seen his wife for a number of months. He was to take a flight out that early morning on Saturday, some fishermen who were going into a resort. And so he said, we'll talk to you later. And so that was the end of that night. I'll never forget the early morning Saturday around 8 o'clock when Pam and I went out for a walk. And we heard a siren. Now, there's a special siren in the north. It wasn't just a fire engine siren, but a siren that indicated something had happened down at the harbor. Something that would require some attention. The sound was excruciating. You could hear it throughout the whole town. Like the sirens you would hear in a wartime. We wondered, wow, I wonder what's happened down at the harbor. Well, here's a story that we had heard later on that day. There was a pilot who had been taking off on the water, a float plane. And as the float plane just started to take off, a gust of wind came up, took the wing. The one wing went into the water and it flipped the plane upside down and began to sink down beneath the water. The story was that this young pilot saved two individuals who were in there, undid their seatbelts, but that he died saving these individuals. We thought, wow, what a sad story. Well, it became even more sad when we realized that that pilot was Ron. The individual that we talked with the night before. We cried. We were so sad for him. My wife, Pam, said, Rick, you got to look at the guest book. You got to take a look at what Ron wrote. And the words in that guest book, which I still have to this day from Ron, were, thank you for giving me a new perspective on God. On God. Did we use repentance that night as a word to share the faith? No. Did we talk about Jesus who changed our lives when we turned around and accepted his grace and love and forgiveness? Absolutely. I haven't always shared my faith the way I should, when God has given me opportunities. I don't know what happened to Ron, whether or not he accepted Jesus as a Savior prior to that experience. I'm hoping that he did. I don't know for sure. But at his funeral, Lee, the supervisor, preached, and he shared those words that were in our guest book with his wife, with those of us who gathered in that place. And somehow we chose to believe that Ron was okay. I can't wait to repent again. Why? Because I get to do an about face. And who am I looking at? I get to look at Jesus, who I know is waiting for me. My Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. That doesn't get any better than that. Amen.